Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome again to the No BS Bishop. I'm Randy Dean. I'm alive to love. I've considered that all lesser values than love are potential BS, and that's why I'm the No BS Bishop. And that's why you're here. I hope you want to learn something about love that maybe you never heard before, or maybe you have, but you need it refreshed in your mind. Always, always, always my pleasure and privilege, honor that you have chosen to give me 1/2 hour of your life. I promise to give you the best I can in the pursuit and the journey toward love. Love is not a destination that you arrive at once and for all, but it's a beloved and joyous journey. It's a climb up the top of a mountain. It's a beautiful, absolutely magnificent trip through life. It's a way of doing life that is beyond the doing, and it's becoming the being. So today in my No BS Bishop Alive to Love, I want to talk to you about the majesty of love, the monumental significance of love, how love is a power. It's a force to be reckoned with. It must be seen. You can't dodge it. It demands your view. It demands your assessment. It's like seeing a mountain for the first time, or seeing the ocean for the first time, only it's seeing it for the first time every day. Love refuses to just be ignored, to be sloughed off like it's a nothing. Love will not hang in the horizon out there and pretend that it's just bland and mousy, has no power. No. The majesty of love. Wow. It has, you know this. We all know this inherently or otherwise. We know that love has inspired how many literature triumphs, you know, how many novels, how many biographies, autobiographies, how many poems, how many songs for that matter, how much of art is inspired by the majesty of love. Love is this demanding significance. It's like the full moon when it comes out on a really beautiful dark night. You know, when you see that moon coming up over the east horizon, you think, whoa, I'm standing in moon shadows. That's me. But you know what I mean. It demands your attention. It will not be ignored. It's not intrusive, but it's certainly not wimpy or milquetoasty. It isn't going to just assume some kind of invisibility. So in talking about the majesty of God today, I want to talk through about 8 different categories of seeing the majesty of love in a whole new way. You know, look at it again. If you've ever... Okay, I'm going to show myself here. I'm a sky watcher. So when I look at the skies, you know, I've watched the stars since I was a kid. And, of course, I grew up in Milwaukee with all the city lights obscuring the real beauty of the stars. But I've always looked at the stars. And when I first started stargazing, it was a bit confusing to me. I'd hear people talk about, you know, the different formations and the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper. Did you see Venus? Did you see Mars? Did you see Jupiter? And I never could quite wrap my head around it. So I just kept looking and looking. I remember when I went off to college and I went down to Texas to go to college and found my beautiful, glorious, wonderful bride, Ginger. Hi, Ginger. I love you. And in Texas, I remember the first West Texas night sky I saw. Oh my goodness. For some reason, it's like I think I was 18, maybe 19. For the first time, it seemed like I was looking at the night sky. It was so uninterrupted by city lights, and it was so broad and big, and you know, no city structures around me to block the horizons. I drove an old 66, well, it wasn't old at the time, a 66 Chevy Impala. I had that sloped roof, which made a perfect little hammock. So I could lay on the trunk with my head propped up against the back window, and I'd lay out there in this driveway of the place that I was renting, and I'd stare at the night sky and just in awe, in marvel. But even then, I didn't know the whole structure of the night skies. I knew the basics like the Big and Little Dipper and other things. But over time, and now in my 60s, I have come to appreciate knowing when that's Jupiter over there, when that's Venus over there, when that's Mars over there, when the constellations have gathered in a certain formation, and how the stars truly do line up at different times and different seasons. Oh, they gather a new majesty every time you give yourself to go look at it. Now listen, now I got to stop talking about stars and stay on the majesty of love. It's the same thing with the majesty of love. Once you start exploring it, you've entered into a sphere, a transcendent, existential magnificence that will take the rest of your life to unpack and to tease it all out and understand it. And when it gets kicked and beat up and thrown down, your love won't go away. No. Love will not go away. Love will maybe take a day or two off or a month or two off, but love will always rise. That's the majesty of love. So in talking about the majesty of love, let me share with you eight quick facets of the majesty of love. First of all, the majesty of love is that it's inherent to the human existence. Love, we're carrying the DNA of love. Now, I don't think medical science has been able to really see this in our DNA. I don't think medical science has measurements where they can look into your blood cells and find it. But I promise you, if there was a way, it would be found. I promise you, there's a love DNA in there. There's love cells in there. I promise you, in your brain, I promise you, somewhere in your physicality, love is built into the human experience. Any human being, no matter what their challenge in life, if there's some disability, if there's some mental or psychological challenges, there's always love active in that human being, no matter what else they may suffer, whatever challenges they may have to climb through, love is there. And no matter what happens to us along the way, and I'll talk about this momentarily, no matter how much love may get beat up, because love is built into us in our sheer DNA, the sheer existence of survival as a human, we need love. You will not kill love, because the majesty of love is always there, number one. Number two, we are inherently looking for love. You know, the bad old country song said, I'm looking for love in all the wrong places. That happens. That does. It's true. It's a bad country song, but it's still true. I'm looking for love in all the wrong places. Why? Because my true north is love. My true value in life is love. And if I have not found people around me to help me, if I do not have wisdom that has been granted me through family members or mentors, I will stray. I will find myself looking for love in places I ought not be looking. And it's because the human condition is starved for love. Mother Teresa said there's more hunger for love in this world than there is for bread. And Mother Teresa was right. When we are starved for bread, we'll eat whatever we can find, even if it's poisonous. So what has to happen is we've got to move toward the majesty of love, sheer determination sometimes, and make sure we're only finding love in the right places. We are wired for it, and we'll run to it, even if it's false. And so somebody around us, a good friend, a family member, has to hang on tight when we're looking for love in all the wrong places. Make sure you have people around you who can tell you the truth and say, hey, you're looking for love in the wrong place. Go to the right place. Third of all, in just unpacking the majesty of love, we will always, we will, I mean, from the time we're babies, we know what love is on some level. You know, the baby cries for mama because that baby knows mama loves me. And so when there's a need, love activates that human signal. It's like a flare. It goes up in the sky. It says, right over here, there's love. There's a love hunger right here. Number four, the majesty of love is such that it will put itself in harm's way. Love will put itself in harm's way. To understand that is to just simply see that when I really, honestly, genuinely, significantly, powerfully, personally, and vulnerably look for love, and I go out there, I'm out in harm's way. There's no two ways about it. If I'm going to explore a mountain, I'm going to put myself in harm's way, right? If I'm going to explore even the night sky, like I've described earlier, I'm going to go out in the dark of night. If there's a meteor shower, I'm going to set out in the chilly, cold night and wrap up. I'm going to put myself in some harm's way because I want to see the majesty. I want to see the majesty of the night sky. But even more so, every one of you listening to me, you've put yourself somewhere in harm's way because you know the majesty of love is worth it. We've all been beat up. We've all been rejected. We've all been hurt. We've all had love misused and taken advantage of. Unfortunately, there are those who have been looking for love in all the wrong places, and they are not going to stop. And so they will find love that's authentic, and they will misuse it and mistreat it. And that's sad. It really is. But you have to see that person as somebody who's eaten poison because they are hungry for bread. So when we find ourselves injured by love, number five, go into the beauty of some kind of love rehabilitation. I've been saying here for the last several weeks now that I consider this radio broadcast a means by which, as a pastor of nearly 50 years, I can sit down with you and give you some counsel, talk to you as a pastor, as a counselor would talk to a parishioner or to a client. I want you to know that I've walked through multiple valleys and climbed multiple mountains in the journey of love, and I do want you to hear me say, love often needs rehabilitation. And in order to be rehabilitated, you're going to have somebody in your life who's willing to tell you the truth, even if it hurts. They're willing to get you around the pains. They're willing to point you above the disappointments. They're willing to show you a different, better way. They're going to tell you, hey, stop living in the past. Let's move to the future. They will acknowledge, I know you're hurt, and I'm so sorry for that. They will give you empathy. They will show you that they care about your wounds, but they'll also show you the care that will get you above your wounds. Living in your woundedness may have some temporary moments of grieving, but be sure you're grieving your way upward and onward, not stationary where it never goes away, where it never grows, it never matures. Get yourself in some love rehabilitation. If you've ever done any physical rehabilitation, at first you'll probably just love the physical therapist. They're your best friend, They're always telling you, we can fix that. We can get you walking better. We can get your arms moving better. We can get you out of that chair. We can put you back in active life. At first it seems all fine and good. It's all it's all popcorn and candy. But after a little while, that physical therapist is going to start pushing you. They're going to start asking you to do it a little more. They're going to start saying, okay, I know it hurts. I know it's stretching that ligament. I know your muscles don't want to go that way, but you're going to have to work with me if you're going to ever get above the wounds. And so some kind of love rehabilitation will really press you. They really will. Why? Because the majesty of love is worth it. It's worth it to love again. It's worth it to get healed so that you can love better. I'm telling you, I have been hurt multiple times in my life in my attempts to love. But I've also discovered that every time I'm down, I've got to make a plan to get back up and love again. Number six, and the majesty of love. It's a natural draw for us to look for abounding love, to look for love that was better than before. I think all love can grow so that when it's just puppy love, I think it can be full grown dog love. You know, sorry for the analogy, but listen to me. Puppy love is all fine and good when you're puppies, but after a while, you're an adult. When I was a child, I thought as a child, but now I'm a man. I'm a full grown woman. I'm a full grown adult. I've got to love as an adult because adult love has greater majesties. Adult love is more rewarding on so many levels. So there's number six, is that we should look for an abounding love, a love that's growing and maturing and more expressive, that it isn't stationary and in one static place. If you've heard me at all on this broadcast, you know I'm somebody that will tell you I'm on a journey for love. I have not discovered everything there is about love. I'm when you hear this, I'll be coming up on my 68th birthday. I'm only 68. I got a lot of love to give. I got a lot of love to live. I got a lot of love to enjoy. I'm looking for love abounding. Number seven, the maturity of love. The majesty of love is in the maturity of love. Let me explain that. Mature love is this steady strength, this steady, unbending, unyielding, unwilling to give up. It's a love that is so grown up that in its grown up capacity, the majesty of it is, it's just so beautifully always there. I think of the story of the prodigal son and the prodigal father. You know, the story that Jesus told of the young son who wanted his inheritance prematurely, took all his money, ran off and misspent it, blew it all on fast cars and fast women and booze and gambling. And the next thing you know, he was eating food with the pigs because that's all he had left. He came to himself, rose up, said, I got to go back to my daddy's house. Even a servant in dad's house gets better treatment than I'm getting right now. So I'll go back. I'll make it right. But when he goes back, he gets a beautiful, magnificent surprise. He discovers, you know what it is, don't you? Mature love. Dad was mature. Dad was full grown. Dad was not a little boy. Dad was not a simpering, whimpering little ball of oh, woe is me. But Dad held steady. Did Dad hurt? You bet he did. Did Dad feel the pain? Oh, you bet he did. Did Dad have a sense of loss? Oh, absolutely. Did Dad grieve? I'm sure he did. But he did not let his weeping for the night remain in his possession when he saw that boy coming up the path. Mature love is what the prodigal father demonstrated when he ran. That's what the story says. The prodigal father ran out to the boy coming up the path before the boy had a chance to even tell him what was going on. Dad was kissing him, holding him, and embracing this stinky pigsty boy. He was holding him and saying, oh, my son who was lost is found. And he was rejoicing. And then the boy said, no, Dad, I've wronged you. You got to make me one of your servants. What? Start me off at minimum wage. Put me down there at the bottom of the seniority totem pole. But the dad said, oh, no, that's not the way this is going to happen. Mature love kicked in with the prodigal father. That's the majesty of love. Mature, strong love said, get me a robe, get me a ring. Let's start a party. Everybody fire up the barbecue pit. We're, you know, hire the best musicians in the area. Let's have a party tonight. We're going to celebrate my son who was lost is found. But then the older son, now here's the immature love. The older son came sucking his thumb right up to his elbow. The older son came and said, whoa, wait a second. I've been here the whole time. You never threw me a party. I've been here the whole time. Can't you hear it? Can't you hear the whimpering and the self-pity there? The older son is not not even looking at the refinding of the younger son. The older son is trapped in his own immaturity. That immature love was not majestic, but the daddy's love, there's majestic love. The majesty of love is the maturity of love. Knowing that love never fails. Yeah, love will be beat up and bruised, but at the end of the story, love wins. And number 8, last but not least, we need to make sure here in Western American mentality culture that we have a new mantra, a new motto, a new way of saying life is this. You know, in America, we treasure productivity above anything else. If you're productive, if you got a good job, if you got a six-figure income, if you're successful, if you got a raise, if you got a promotion, wow, look at you go. But I want to change that. I'm not saying you shouldn't get a job. I'm not saying you shouldn't get a promotion. I'm not saying you shouldn't get a raise. I am saying we need to put first things first. We need to say, I love, therefore I am. I may not have the best job in the whole wide world, but I will love like nobody else's business. I'm going to love. I'm going to rise to the majesty of love. There's a philosopher who said, I think, therefore I am. And that's okay, but that is not the highest value in life. American culture says, I work, therefore I am. And, you know, of course we need to work. If a man or woman doesn't work, then they won't be eating. They're going to be in poverty. But listen, love is the greater value than work. Love is the greater value than thinking. Love is the greater value than productivity. I love, therefore I am. I love, therefore I am. The majesty of love makes me a real, live human being. I'm a live wire. And I'm alive to love. I'm not alive for work. I'm not alive for productivity. I'm not alive for philosophy. I'm alive to love. And then when I work, I'll be the best employee any boss ever had. When I love and I'm working, I'm loving my job. I'm loving my space that I'm in. I'm learning to love in spite of the challenges, because in the majesty of love, I've climbed above all the obstacles, all the pains, all the disappointments, and all the challenges from others who don't understand how love really works. The majesty of love. There you go. I've got 8 points I've given you today that we're carrying the love in our DNA, that we are listening to our love maturity, our growth in love. We're carrying on in a pursuit of love and a journey. We've experienced the love spectrum, the full back and forth. We know what it is to be wounded, disappointed. We've gotten into some love rehabilitation. We are letting our love abound no matter what. We are maturing, maturing, maturing. We're growing. We're strong. And last but not least, we're learning that if I love, therefore I am. Every week we close this broadcast with a couple of practices. I believe these are valuable, simple, but valuable life practices. And the first one is, I teach people, I've taught this in other places too, as a pastor, how to breathe. Breathing is important, you know it, but we don't work at it in a way that's really helpful to us. Learning how to breathe rhythmically and deeply. Take a deep breath in. Join me now. Here it goes. Take a breath in. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, in. Hold it all to the bottom of those lungs. Stretch them out. And exhale. Inhale love. Exhale gratitude. Here we go. Inhale some love. And exhale. Thank you, God. Thank you. I want you to know that the stress of life will get you breathing shallow. I want you to know that the pressures of disappointments in our love will make you want to breathe just like a boxer in a ring who's taking every gulp of air they can. But that's not healthy. Breathe deep, breathe slow, and love with your exhale. Last but not least, you know what I'm going to do. Look people in the eye and tell them you love them. I know it's weird. I know it's awkward, but you'll get over it. I know there are appropriate places to do this and there are inappropriate places and people to do it with, but find somebody with whom you have some confidence that they'll understand your motives are pure, and let them know with just, it only takes about 5 to 10 seconds of real intentionality. Stop, listen, look, take a moment, take their eye into yours, and just say the 3 charmed words of all human existence. I love you. Well, there you have it. And when we do these things, we are rising to the majesty of love. We'll look like Mount Everest walking around. We'll look like the ocean in the middle of a desert. We'll look like the monuments of like the Mount Rushmore. I couldn't say it. It wouldn't get out of my head and into my mouth. We'll look like Mount Rushmore in a beautiful, glorious summer day if we rise to the majesty of love. Thanks for being here today again. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm a no BS bishop. I am calling people to love like there's no tomorrow. Fill this day up with so much love that you will end the day knowing you've lived your purpose. There, I love, therefore I am. Now go out there and do something beautiful, because ugly, oh baby, ugly has been done to death. Thanks for being here today. I'll be here again next Saturday and Sunday, the No BS Bishop.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.